Blog Talk Radio.
You're getting stoned to Setting the Tone Radio.
Look, I get it in, I'm my own man. All the ladies see flying, they don't really want to leave them alone. I never follow the crowd, I'm setting my own trends. Baby girl, I'm setting the tone. I'm a trendsetter, 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 haha. I'm a trendsetter, 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 trendsetter.
Day after, everybody been wanting this fight for the last 5-6 years, and last night was the big night for the fight, and it finally happened. Pac-Man and Mayweather finally meet in the center of the ring.
Yep. He did. He remains undefeated.
Undefeated, 48-0. Man, I'm just. So what you think? What you think about the whole thing?
I mean, it was cool, you know. I mean, I'm not heavy into boxing. Obviously, you know, I wanted to see it though, you know, and obviously, mm-hmm. definitely for the social experience or whatever. But it was I wanted to see a knockout. I'm used to the Tyson days, you know, where the fight lasts like
mm-hmm.
3-4 minutes and somebody gets knocked out. I wanted to see a good knockout, you know. But you know, this is also coming from somebody who doesn't necessarily know all the technicalities of boxing, though. So mm-hmm. you know, I don't, you know, as far as how many punches actually get thrown versus, you know, how many really get hit, and I know that's what they base it off of. So you know, there mm-hmm. there were a few moments of oohs and ahs, but.
Yeah.
I mean, overall, I guess I would say it was a pretty cool fight. I mean, I just, the thing that gets me is how much money is put in, how much press is put in, like, thinking of everything that surrounds an event that really only lasts 45 minutes. I think that is absolutely amazing that we live in a world where 45 mm-hmm. minutes can create so much money and attention. I mean, again, I'm mm-hmm. somebody who's not even really into boxing like that, and I wanted to see the fight. So it's mm-hmm. it's interesting the way the world works a little bit from that aspect. But
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then I know you looking at it from a event coordinator point of view. I know that had to really, you know, be something to pay attention to too.
Yeah, you know, just wondering like. I mean, obviously, you know, it's in Vegas at the MGM Grand. You know, I was in Vegas last weekend. That's why I wasn't on the show.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's huge, and I know that they are totally prepared for this. And, you know, you just think about security and just for the city itself, because, you know, so many people come into town, and just thinking about how much money is in the building, just how they kind of orchestrate it to make it
right.
So flawless, knowing that there's
mm-hmm.
so much involved. Again, in an event that mm-hmm. essentially just lasts 45 minutes.
Exactly. Yeah. And
so what did you think about it? What did you think about it?
What I thought about it? Well, it ended up being exactly like I said. I said it last week. I've been saying it ever since that it was going to be a boring fight. And when I was saying that, people didn't agree with me. They didn't think it was. They thought I was, what are you talking about? This is the biggest fight. I'm like, yeah, but see, you got to understand how, Mayweather fights a certain way. He's not trying to take no punishment, and he is trying to dole out hits and score points. You know, he was in the Olympics, so that's what they do. They score them points, and they try not to get hit and let the other person score any points. Pacquiao fights a different way. He comes reckless, and he's trying to knock your head off. Well, the thing is, everybody that Mayweather has fought since Oscar De La Hoya has fought the same exact style, and they have all lost. So when will somebody try something else? And, of course, that's what Pacquiao did. Mayweather kept him in the center of the ring, but the moment he went to go up against the ropes, that's when he went to try to well on him, and then, you know, Mayweather did the check left hook, what he did to Ricky Hatton, and he'd get out of trouble or whatever. And that's exactly how I seen the fight going. Exactly how it went is exactly how I seen it going, because that's how he fights, and as long as he could dictate the fight, that's how nobody's going to beat him at that. They've been trying to beat him at that style, and they haven't. Okay,
right.
We're going to try to smother him and throw a lot of punches, and it gets you nowhere. And Pacquiao missed 81% of his punches. So, yeah, he threw a lot, but he missed 81%, and that's what Mayweather do to people, make them look like an amateur. And so I knew that it was going to be a boring fight, and people it was.
I mean, you would think from Pacquiao's perspective that he would study all of that and know that that's his style to kind of, you know, to, I mean, the dude is undefeated. Just, you know, like you said, when is somebody going to learn enough of his style to watch the videos and study him to get around that technique that he uses?
Exactly. But they all, one person had a bit of success with it, and then they see Madonna, whatever her name was, had a little bit of success, and then everybody does what, that's the same, where they want to try the same thing. It's like, that's not going to work.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And so it's just crazy. And then this is the other part that kind of bugged me. I'll take a listen to this.
What's your impression of this fight?
Well, it's a good fight. I thought I won the fight.
You thought you won the fight? Why?
He didn't do nothing. He always, you know, move outside.
Well, but he had to be hitting you with something because you weren't attacking him with the same kind of ferocity that we sometimes see you attack. Was he not doing something to keep you off?
Yeah, I mean, I got him many times. I sold the punches, and I think I thought I won the fight.
We didn't ringside. The judges didn't. From the outset in the first round, he seemed to be able to get you to fight at his pace. You usually throw a lot of punches. You didn't throw as many punches right from the beginning. Why?
No, he's moving around. It's not easy to throw a lot of punches if your opponent moving around. But if he stays, then I can throw a lot of punches.
But you knew that coming in, so didn't you have to do something to get him to stay?
Yeah, I'm just cutting him in counter. I That's fight.
He seemed to catch you with some good right hands early in the fight. Did you feel his power?
Yeah, I can handle his power. It's not strong like Margarito or other opponent, Cotto, like that.
So you're saying you thought you were up in the fight, and that's why maybe you didn't attack him, you didn't step up the pace even more in the 11th and 12th round.
Yes.
Manny, because ringside, I thought I had him winning pretty wide. It seemed to me that his size was giving you some trouble. He's a bigger fighter than you. Was he able to use his size against you?
No, he's not bigger than me. It's not about the size. The size doesn't matter. I've been fighting bigger than him, and nothing problem.
Yeah. So there you have it.
He won.
Pacquiao, two people thought he won that fight. Him and Skip Bayless. Skip Bayless is all over Twitter, and he is just going nuts about how Manny was robbed and Floyd ran, and Manny, from his eye test, he believes that Pac-Man won. It was like, yo, you the only person that watched the fight that seen that. Him and Holyfield. Holyfield thinks Pac-Man won too. But, you know, Holyfield, you know, he's been hit one too many times, so.
Right. He might be a little disillusioned.
Uh-huh, exactly. Where'd you watch the fight at?
I actually went to, it was kind of last minute because I got off of work kind of late. I got off of work about 9:30, 10 o'clock, and for a minute I thought that I was just going to be at home and not end up watching it at all. But I remembered that Playdate was having an event last night, and they had the fight.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so,
okay.
You know, the other option was to go down to Dugan's, but I know that I think they were charging pretty heavy, you know, to get in the door.
Uh-huh.
So I went down to Playdate. You know, the crowd was cool, chill, laid back. You know, there wasn't too much going on. And
yeah.
So it was cool. I just went down there, hung out with the Playdate crew, and saw the fight. What about
okay.
you? Where'd you watch it at?
I sat right on my couch and pulled up the stream and watched it on my laptop and watched it on my laptop and stayed on Facebook, going back and forth everybody on Facebook about it, and that was it. Nah, I didn't go anywhere because I already figured they're probably going to charge a whole bunch, or it's going to be the crowd's going to be crazy, you know what I mean? For a fight
right.
like this, you might not even get in, stand outside.
Right, exactly.
And I've been through situations like that before, and I was like, nah, I'm going to just sit right here, my lazy boy, lay back and watch it right here, and then go back and forth, you know, because we debuted our show yesterday, too, the boxing
team.
Yeah, so, you know, we did the radio show first at 7, same time as this one started, but it was 7 o'clock, and we did the radio show, and it was very good, had a few callers, very good, because we covered the fight in every angle possible, and then from the domestic abuse angle, from the Floyd scared angle, why people don't like him, from racial angle, we covered every angle possible, and then, you know, so from there, got ready, I started watching the underdogs, and watched them fight, and then also watching the Clippers game was on, too, so I had my laptop watching the fight, and I had the Clippers game on the widescreen, and I was good for the night. So.
Oh, there you go.
Exactly. So that's what ended up happening with me. So anyway, do we have any notes we got to let people know, or let them know the phone number? What's going on?
Yes, the phone number to call into tonight's show is 646-200-0246. Again, that number is 646-200-0246. Obviously, we're talking about the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight, if you want to call it. And give us your feedback on the fight. I want to hear from anybody who lost some money. Because, you know, obviously with a fight like this, a lot of people putting out bets. So I want to hear who lost rent money, who lost car insurance money, who lost car note money, all of that. I want to hear from you people, so I need you to call in. But also a little bit later on, you know, people just been losing money. That's why, see, this is the thing with stuff like this. Like, I'll watch, again, you know, I like the social aspect of a big event like this. You know, it was definitely a big sport. It was definitely a big weekend in sports with the playoffs and
definitely,
the fight.
Yeah.
And then the NFL draft was taking place and
Kentucky
all of that.
Derby.
So,
yeah.
Yes, Kentucky Derby was a huge weekend in sports this weekend. So, you know, I like to talk about things like that, but I'm not really about to be losing my money to be putting, you know what I'm saying? Mayweather does not need my money.
Right.
That dude is good.
Right,
I don't need to be coming out of pocket. If anything, Mayweather could drop me a little something, but, you know.
Exactly. Definitely.
So,
he doesn't need my little money for no pay-per-view, so I pulled the stream right up and watched it on my couch, and it was just fine. So
no,
I definitely
right.
agree with you on that.
I actually was surprised. I mean, I've never ordered the fight on pay-per-view personally, but I was surprised. I thought it was going to cost more than $100. I thought this one was going to be a bigger one, but apparently not.
It may have, depending on if you got HD or not. So it might have,
okay.
Who knows, it may have cost more, I don't know.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
Exactly. So what I want to do is, it's 15 after, what we're going to do is we're going to go on break. And matter of fact, when we come back, we're going to get to some more. If you want to call in, talk about the Mayweather fight. But then we're going to talk about these riots and what's going on over here in Baltimore and get into that. Whole situation. But first, We're going to go to break with Manny Pacquiao's entrance song. You know, he sung his own entrance music. And so we're going to go to break with that and let y'all enjoy some Manny Pacquiao singing.
All right, let's do it.
Ang iyong nararamdaman, ano ba ang tamang batayan upang tayo'y pakinggan? Dapat mataas ba ang iyong pinagmulan? Kahit nasasaktan ang aking sarili, pilit na itinatago at walang sinasabi. Puso ko may nagturugo, yay di kita ng iba. Basta't ang mahalaga, bayan ko'y masaya. Lalaban ako sa mundo, dala ang pangalan mo. Pinoy ako, Pinoy tayo. Lalaban ako sa mundo, kapalit may buhay ko. Lalaban ako para sa Pilipino. Maging tayo ay may pangarap sa bayan, ang makatulong sa kapwa o magbigay karangalan. Kahit maging sino ka man, lukha o mayaman, kung para sa bayan, sabay tayong lalaban. Lalaban ako sa mundo, dala ang pangalan mo. Pinoy ako, Pinoy tayo. Lalaban ako sa mundo, kapalit may buhay ko. Lalaban ako para sa Pilipino.
Investigation, coupled with the medical examiner's determination that Mr. Gray's death was a homicide, which we received today, has led us to believe that we have probable cause to file criminal charges.
Yes! Yes!
The statement of probable cause is as follows. On April 12, 2015, between 8:45 and 9:15 a.m., Lieutenant Brian Rice, while on bike patrol with officers Garrett Miller and Edward Nero, made eye contact with Mr. Freddie Carlos Gray Jr. Having made eye contact with Mr. Gray subsequently ran from Lieutenant Rice. Lieutenant Rice then dispatched over departmental radio that he was involved in a foot pursuit, at which time officers Miller and Nero also began to pursue Mr. Gray. Having come in contact with the pursuing officers, Mr. Gray surrendered to officers Miller and Nero. Officers Miller and Nero then handcuffed Mr. Gray and moved him to a location a few feet away from his surrendering location. Mr. Gray was then placed in a prone position with his arms handcuffed behind his back. It was at this time that Mr. Gray indicated that he could not breathe and requested an inhaler to no avail. Officers Miller and Nero then placed Mr. Gray in a seated position and subsequently found a knife clipped to the inside of his pants pocket. The blade of the knife was folded into the handle. The knife was not a switchblade and is lawful under Maryland law. These officers subsequently removed the knife and placed it on the sidewalk. Mr. Gray was then placed back down on his stomach, at which time Mr. Gray began to flail his leg and scream as Officer Miller placed Mr. Gray in a restraining technique known as a leg lace, while Officer Nero physically held him down against his will until a BPD wagon arrived to transport Mr. Gray. Lieutenant Rice, Officer Miller, and Officer Nero failed to establish probable cause for Mr. Gray's arrest, as no crime had been committed by Mr. Gray. Accordingly, Lieutenant Rice, Officer Miller, and Officer Nero illegally arrested Mr. Gray. upon arrival of the transport wagon driven by Officer Caesar Goodson. Lieutenant Rice, Officer Nero, and Officer Miller loaded Mr. Gray into the wagon, and at no point was he secured by a seatbelt while in the wagon, contrary to a BPD general order. Lieutenant Rice then directed Officer Goodson to transport Mr. Gray to the central booking and intake facility. Following transport from Baker Street, Mr. Gray suffered a severe and critical neck injury as a result of being handcuffed, shackled by his feet, and unrestrained inside of the BPD wagon.
Well, so that's what the riot is all about right there. Eye contact was what started all of this. Eye contact with Freddie Gray, and then they went into pursuit. And then, okay, so they arrested him. They didn't have any reasons that they arrested him. You know, he did have a knife on him, but it wasn't illegal in Baltimore. They put him in the paddy wagon. He was telling them that he had a problem breathing, and, you know, they had already put him in some kind of hold that had him screaming and squirming or whatever. And then they put him in the paddy wagon, and instead of going taking him to get any medical help, they ended up going everywhere else, doing everything else. It's like they had forgot he was in the paddy wagon, you know.
Right.
So, and one of the times they opened the paddy wagon door and asked him, "Hey, man, you all right?" And he's like, "Yo, I need a medic." And then they closed the door, and then they forgot about him again. They went and wrote up reports. They did other stuff, probably stopped by Dunkin' Donuts. You know, and then later on when they finally do get down to the precinct, they realize, oh, yeah, we got somebody in the back there. And then, oh, snap, listen, we need to take him to the hospital. We get to the hospital, this guy's dead, and they find out his spine was severed, probably because of the reason, this is what the district attorney is saying, that because he was unrestrained in the back of that paddy wagon, laying down face first with his feet and hands handcuffed behind his back, and so now he's already telling me he's got an injury and he can't breathe, and now he's bouncing around on the paddy wagon floor while they drive all over the place. So that's what happened.
The DA brought up
charges on him.
I believe so.
Yeah, that's crazy,
man. That's just, it's scary, it's crazy, it's just, it's a lot all at once, and, you know, it kind of leaves you speechless, and then obviously, you know, from that you have the aftermath, our protests and riots and, you know, businesses burning and people getting injured and just, you know, this entire backlash. It's just, I don't know, like situations like this, like it's good to talk about, but it also for me, it kind of, sometimes I don't want to talk about it because it's so heartbreaking. It's so heartbreaking to know that, you know, we live in a world where this happens and then this is the result.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of lives get hurt and a lot happens.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then, you know, you see, and they show the pictures. I don't know if there's any. I'm pretty sure there's peaceful protests, but you know, the main pictures that they're going to show on the news is the, you know, burning down of stuff and, you know, the violence with the police and stuff like that. Because all I heard about was this CVS burning down, and then they showed pictures of CVS. And you know, I'm just gonna go ahead and say how I feel about the whole situation. And I feel like this. Basically, I get that you want to protest. But once you start burning down CVS's, see, then that's when you lost me, right? Because to me, CVS did absolutely nothing to you. CVS wasn't there. CVS wasn't the ones that did whatever maneuver the district attorney just said in the back of this guy. CVS wasn't the one, none of those stores, not even none of the mom and pop stores, none of the stores there. And so you're looting them, you're running in them, you're coming out of the store holding up the tissue and all the stuff that you've taken out of these stores. And these are the stores that are in the community trying, they're at least there trying to save you. And you go in and do that. My thing is this, and these protesters could tell me I'm wrong all they want. but I don't feel like I am. The problem is with the police. Am I correct? The problem is with the police. So, to me, the protesters are a bunch of punks. Because you're going to go and burn down a CVS. And the CVS isn't the one that had people out here putting their knee in the back. They didn't have the issue with it. The police was the one that had the issue with it. But I'm calling those protesters punks because why didn't they take their behinds up to the police station and do all that stuff they did to the CVS? See, if you really wanted to protest seriously, trying to make a stand, trying to say something, go do all that stuff you're doing, all that burning down and all that brick throwing and looting and rioting. Why don't you go up to the police department and do that? No, those people won't do that. But they'll go loot up the CVS with some employees up in there trying to make minimum wage and just trying to earn a living. They'll go burn that down. But they won't go where the real problem is, right? You're supposed to have a problem with the police department, right? So why don't you go up there? You don't have a problem with the shopping the shopping department or the health department that's up in the department store. You have a problem with the police department. So go up there and do the same thing. If y'all so tough, if y'all really want y'all birth voice heard, why don't they do that? And so that's my beef with the whole protest. And, you know, that's how I feel. You can't change that. And so I won't take those protesters serious when I see them walking down the street with CVS bags full of groceries and stuff. I'm not taking that serious. I'll take it serious if you show up to the precincts with that same mentality. Then I'll be like, uh-oh, okay, all right, we serious now.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, this is something that we definitely talked about previously on the show when we talked about the, what was the riots that took place, and why am I drawing a blank right now?
Over in St. Louis somewhere? It's over there in St. Louis, right?
In Ferguson. Yeah.
Right.
You know, we discussed this on the show, you know, talking about the riots that took place there. And I do agree with you, you know, that we're making other people pay for what somebody else did. You know, it's just like if you're in a relationship, you know what I mean? And somebody breaks your heart and then you carry that anger into the next relationship. That person didn't do anything. You know what I mean?
Right,
take that out on the previous situation. So, you know, obviously, you know, we're not in that city and that kind of thing, but, I understand that, you know, people feel that if they riot, then their voice is going to get heard, it's going to bring attention to the city. However, we do have to learn to, pivot our anger in the area that deserves it, I guess you can say. You know, like you said, I mean, what did CVS do? And then this now put CVS employees out of a job because there's no store.
Out of it.
You know,
exactly.
And just the other companies, there are a lot of companies I was reading on CNN, there are a lot of companies who were victims of the riots and the burnings and, you know, they don't have insurance. You know, so it kind of, you're affecting this in a bigger way than sometimes is necessary. But, you know, so it's a crazy situation to be in because I think as a people are tired of hearing these kind of stories. People are tired of, you know, nobody, obviously I'm not a black man, but I would believe that there's fear in just walking down the street because, again, in the Freddie Gray situation, it was just eye contact that led to all of this. So there probably is fear. Right. So, you know, I just really hope that we can, just as a country, that we can just communicate with each other, that we can respect each other's differences, that we can, you know, learn. We should be able to learn together. I think it's funny that, you know, if there's a football game on or a basketball game on and you know, two people are rooting for the same team, they're like best friends. You know, it could be a black man and a white woman or whatever the case may be. They are best friends. They may not even know each other's name, but they are rooting for the same sports team and they are best friends. But if it's if those two people are in a different circumstance, then you get a totally different outcome, which I think is absolutely crazy. Like, just the world that we live in and how everything is so circumstantial and how one scenario can change if the circumstances were different, say, a day later, you know, and then...
Right.
You know, and that resulted in the city having to put a curfew, but today I was looking on, you know, I was kind of reading over the stories and the city of Baltimore did lift a curfew.
Okay, good.
And, yeah, the mayor spoke to that. She was just kind of saying that she didn't want the curfew to go beyond a day, but, you know, obviously it had to happen. And so there was a peaceful protest in the downtown area in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
So that obviously resulted in probably, I guess, if I would assume the feeling, the city having more of a calm feeling now. And so Mayor Stephanie Rawlins-Blake announced today that she was lifting the six-day curfew. And so hopefully from here, you know, we can really just kind of focus on the investigation and the legal aspect of it as opposed to being distracted by the riot and everything
right.
that kind of came following it.
Exactly. All right, well, what we're going to do, we're going to go on the break, and we're going to come right back and talk a little bit more about this. So, y'all stay tuned. Hang on here. We'll be right back.
Know what to do with me. Was I somebody they despise? Curious look in their eyes as if they wonder if I'm dead or alive. If old mama can't control me. Quit trying to save my soul. I want to roll with my homies. A ticket time bomb. Ain't nobody saved me. Back in that 380 and beamed it from Mercedes. Suck a scatter, but it don't matter. I'm a cool shot. Pump shot from all the bucks.
Residents of South Central Los Angeles. Because mail delivery has been suspended to some of the more dangerous parts of South Central LA, residents were forced to line up at local post offices. Today is the day that government checks, including Social Security, disability, and welfare checks, are sent out. Because the crowds, which lined several city blocks, were so large, Dozens of Los Angeles police and sheriff's deputies were deployed here to maintain calm. The post office is staying open to make sure that these people get their checks on time. On time is not what's happening at Los Angeles International Airport. Airlines are continuing to cancel flights to LAX. Visibility has been reduced by the smoke from fires, and so runway approaches are being limited. Many airlines report up to 50% of the flights have been canceled to LA, and those that do land here suffer long delays. The situation has had a domino effect on airports throughout the country. Today in Los Angeles, there was overall calm, limited looting and arson, but over the last couple of days, the rioting has certainly left its scars on this community.
Well, that was a clip about the L.A. riots, and I added that clip. Actually, that clip was supposed to have the Rodney King saying, can we all just get along, but something, technical difficulty or something. But I added that clip because, Kulchik, you brought up a couple of days ago that this was like kind of like the anniversary of when the Rodney King riots in L.A., what is it, like 1992 or something like that, I believe,
yeah,
1992.
1992.
And,
the same week in 1992 was when the Rodney King riot started, yeah.
Wow, so that's what, 23 years later? Can you believe that? Like, they always say history.
And we're still going through that, right.
Mm-hmm. And they say history repeats itself, and, I mean, it didn't take long for this to repeat itself, you know, and it's happening more frequent now. That was 23 mm-hmm. years ago, and right now we have a riot, and it's a riot that's happening, what, maybe a month after the one in Ferguson, maybe 2 months after the one in Ferguson.
Mm-hmm.
So they're starting to happen a little more frequently. And just something, 1992, do you remember these riots, and L.A. riots? Where were you, what were you doing when you first heard about, man, they rioting in L.A. over, and then they showed the video, and no, there was the verdict is what they started rioting over because they found the cops innocent even though it was on video. What were you doing when you first found out about the L.A. riots?
When I was younger, I was like involved in a lot of groups, like church groups, music groups, like all that. So I don't remember exactly what group I was with at this particular time, but I remember coming back and my mom and my sister picking me up from whatever area was that we had all gotten dropped off at. And in the car ride home, they had told me about it. So during this trip, obviously we hadn't heard about it because I want to say it was a trip, you know, there wasn't any TV or anything. It was, you know, a social group or whatever like that. So I wasn't aware of it when I was gone on this trip, but I remember coming back and being in the car, and they tell me about it, and I was kind of scared, you know, because I'm young at the time. I'm not even 20 years old, you know, and I was kind of scared because I was wondering, you know, what effect is this going to have on the world? Like, are we going to have to protect ourselves at home? Like, what is going on? Because
right.
So this is the first time I'm hearing of something crazy going on like this. Granted, you know, I was in New York at the time, and this was in L.A. I was just scared, like, is this going to stretch to this side of town? Are people going to react? You know, are they going to respond the same way here? So it kind of scared me a bit. So and, you know, obviously you're hearing about it all the time and seeing the video just continue to play over and over again on various news stations. So it's just, it was a constant communication about it. But that's what I was doing when I heard that the riots had started. What about you?
Oh, wow. I think at the time I was working at Claim Bright in Rochester, New York. It used to be on Oak Street. I think it's right there now where the soccer stadium is. I was working there, and I remember this guy that worked there start coming through the building like he was all hyped up, like, yo, it's on, yo, hey, why it is? So I'm like, what the hell is he talking about, right?
Because
he didn't explain it. So I'm looking around, and he, like, trying to get other people all riled up and stuff, and I'm like, man, we're at work. You better not let Pastor see you acting like that.
Right.
So anyway, you know, but I was looking at him like, yo, what's up? Like, what? Okay. And he was, like, going through the whole building and, like, running through, like, getting everybody hyped about him and stuff. And so at that moment, I still didn't get what was going on, what was happening, because I didn't get a chance to pull him off the side and be like, what are you talking about? But when I went on break and they had the TV on and everybody was standing there watching, and I walk up and look, and that's when I was like, oh, this is what they're talking about. And then they snatching cats out of the snatching some dude up out of the semi truck and beating him, brick to the head, and all kind of crazy. I was like, yo, oh, same way. I like you were saying. I was like, oh wow, this is about to get real crazy right about now.
Yeah,
you know. And you know, through songs and stuff, we had heard about, you know, how things were in L.A., but we didn't know personally, you know, from music and videos and stuff, you kind of get a hint. But I never knew that it was anything like the way once it went down, then I was like, oh, this is real. This is serious.
Right.
And it was something, you know, most riots, there's not a lot of positive that come out of burning down and tearing up neighborhoods and stuff like that. There is one thing that if you had to look at for some kind of positive in it, and me being a monk, you know, I'm always trying to look for some type of positive in any situation. In L.A. and also happening in with the Baltimore riots, same exact thing. That's why I say history repeats itself. Then in L.A., the gangs actually formed a truce and started working together, stopped going after each other, and was busy all about the protesting and, you know, bringing awareness to different situations in the neighborhoods and stuff like that, and how being they were being treated by the cops. And so they actually formed a truce instead of killing each other. At the time, they actually got together. And the same thing happened in Baltimore. The gangs doing the same thing. They formed a truce and, you know, and they getting together and they doing this protest. And I say, if you got to find anything out of it that's a positive, you know, hopefully the truce can last past this agreement they have, you know,
right,
with the cops, you know. Right, you know, that's just me being a monk. I'm always trying to look for something good. There may be other good out there, and I guess you can say the other good is the fact that these six officers are being brought up on charges by this DA.
Right, exactly, and I think that that's what people really wanted. You know, they want justice. They want to know that this can't just something like this can just happen and it be okay, it be accepted, you know, because then again,
right,
you're going to have everybody living in fear, because you could think one day you go into the grocery store and you might not make it home. Like, I just wanted to go get some milk, you know what I mean? So
right,
people want to know that there is somebody out there who cares. There's somebody out there who sees the situation and says, this is not right. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are paying taxes out here. They're and living their life, and again, you just don't want to walk outside your door and have this fear of what could happen, you know, and it just doesn't bring a very good feeling to just overall, you know, in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So, like
you
said, you know, the next step in this whole Baltimore case is now the legal issues. Hopefully the city is more in a peaceful, has more of a peaceful presence, you know, is the rioting has hopefully ended, and now they can just concentrate on the case itself, and hopefully, you know, there'll be some justice brought out of it.
Yeah, I agree. Because no one should get killed over eye contact. You know,
right,
that's just, I don't get that. You know, it's just, that makes absolutely no sense. Now, this guy actually did something real bad. And I'm pretty sure they go digging. They may find something, you know. They may find. But at that moment, all he had did was eye contact. And
right,
I don't think nobody deserves to die behind that, you know. And it sounds more like neglect. They didn't even beat on this guy. He said he was having a problem. They just, you know, they just act
let
like
him,
it didn't mean
right.
Yeah. You know? So... man, crazy, boy. It's crazy.
It's crazy. It's scary. It's unfortunate. It's, you know, there's a lot of emotions that come up from situations like this, and it just unfortunately, it changes the perspective of people, some people who were involved and some people who weren't involved, you know. And, again,
right.
just the reaction that comes out of situations like this. And having felt mm-hmm. and having for the United States to feel this way again after the whole Ferguson situation, you know, that got quiet and then this happened. So, you know, I could imagine
right.
this kind of stuff leaves people on edge, because then you're wondering, you know, 2 months from now, we're going to be having this discussion again just in a different city. You know?
Exactly. So what we're gonna do now, we're gonna take a break, and then we're gonna stay on the topic about the riots, but we're gonna try to see, is there a possible way to lighten up the subject of riots? We'll find out when we come back on break. Y'all stay tuned. We're gonna see if we can lighten the riot subject up just a little bit. So we'll be right back.
Just a little bit.
Kids were arrested, but not Toya Graham's 16-year-old, Michael. She gave him a piece of her mind and a good portion of her hand. Today, Toya Graham spoke to CBS News producer Christina Ruffini.
I could see the objects being thrown at the police, and I was like in awe, like, oh my God, you know, this is really happening right here with me. And lo and behold, I turn around and I look in this crowd, and my son is actually coming across the street with this hoodie on and a mask. At that point, I just lost it. And he gave me eye contact. And at that point, not even thinking about cameras or anything like that. That's my only son. And at the end of the day, I don't want him to be a Freddie Gray. But to stand up there and vandalize police officers,
get over here, nut!
That's not justice. That's not what, you know, I'm a single mom. You know, I have 6 children, and I just choose not to live like that no more, and I don't want that for him.
What were you thinking when you saw him? Were you shocked? Were you angry?
I was shocked. I was angry. I was shocked, because you never want to see your child out there doing that. There's some days that I'll shield him in the house just so he won't go outside. And I know I can't do that for the rest of my life. He's 16 years old. You know, he's into the streets.
What was his reaction when he saw you, when you kind of pulled him out of the crowd, and then,
you know,
what was that ride home like?
He said to me, he said, when I seen you, my instinct was to run. You know, I'm a no-tolerant mother. Everybody that knows me know I don't play that, you know what I mean? He knew he was in trouble.
He knew.
Right.
He knew he was in trouble. Yeah, a little bit of justice right there, they said. Now, this is the thing. He knew he was in trouble, so he started to run. That lets you know that he knew, like she said,
he
was doing
scared.
Something he ain't had no business.
Right.
He had no business. Did you get a chance to see that clip?
I did see it. And, you know, it's one of those things where if no one else in this world can get through to you or that you're scared of, it's going to be your
right.
mother.
Right.
It is going
right.
to
He's
be your there. Mother. And now you
right.
and now you out here on the street, and your mom is popping you all upside the head. Everybody is
mm-hmm.
watching. Like, you're not a thug anymore. Once mom dudes get to you, it's a wrap.
Right.
It's a wrap. Like, there's nothing.
Right.
Like he said, his first instinct was to run. He probably wouldn't have ran if it was a police officer coming to him. But your mother, you have
right.
to live with her for the rest of your life. Like, yeah.
And that's something, like, he wasn't scared to be out there throwing stuff at the police or whatever, but when he seen mom, they're dying to
tell. Exactly.
And mom, man, I'm telling you, boy, the moms, well, they don't play that, y'all. Mom still strike. Man, look, I'm not trying to play with my mom like that at all.
Right.
My mom would have probably snatched me up the same way.
You know what that kind of reminds me of? I know you've seen that show, The First 48, and I'm not sure what city it is, but there's a black
mm-hmm.
woman investigator, and she always gets those
Tennessee.
Grown men.
I think that's.
Yes.
I think
she
that's
always
Memphis,
gets those
Memphis.
Grown men to cry.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's because they remind her of a mother, and so she gets
yeah.
that reaction out of them. I'm telling you, man. A mother has a totally different impact on your life than anybody else. And I can imagine he was like, oh, my gosh, why did I come
mm-hmm.
out here? I mean, they ended up, I saw clips of her on the Today Show, you know, for that. And
right.
Hey, if you can't get anybody else to listen to your child and get them off the streets, you know, in a situation like that, your mother will do it.
And she was not apologetic about it neither. She was like, no, I'm not having that. No, I don't care. And she is willing to tell her story. She don't care what anybody thinks. But she was right there. She was letting him have it.
I love that, though. I love that she called
yeah.
him in the middle of him doing his action and, you know, saying, like, this is not what we do. This is not how I raise
yeah.
you. You know, I'm not going to sit
yeah.
out here and let you contribute to this. Like, I think everything about that is awesome. I mean, that's obviously not a story
mm-hmm.
that we hear often at all. But I think just
yeah.
her sticking up and, you know, you got to get off these streets. We're not doing this. You could end up, and furthermore,
mm-hmm.
first, you're embarrassing the family. And then furthermore, what if you just end up dead just because of you being out here
right.
in these streets? Like, come on now.
Mm-hmm.
I can't lose you to that. And she said that's her only son,
right.
too? Yeah.
Right. You already seen how they treated Freddie Gray. So, yeah, now you
right?
out here want to throw rocks at him? All that Freddie Gray did was look back, made eye contact, and he got murked, and you out here throwing
right.
rocks. Do you know what they about to do to you, son? Do you know?
Man, that was some eye contact that changed. He saw her, she saw him.
Oh. right. Oh, man. So, yeah, you know I had to, because I'm like, man, we talking, you know, this is a heavy subject. You know, we started off the show with some sports and dark Mayweather, and we had a little fun with that, you know, with Pacquiao's song and singing, and then we got heavy. So I was thinking about it. I was like, the show has got to lighten up at the end of the show.
Yeah.
And so when you came up with that idea about talking about with the mom and what happened with her, I was like, yo, that's perfect. We'll end the show with that. And the butt whooping and all that, because yeah, I could see my mom had no problem. Everybody know she had no problem with whooping me in public. And matter of fact, I'm still talking to Child Protection now because there's no statute of limitation of what she did to me. So I got a surprise for her on Mother's Day when I show up, and I show up with child protective, and she got some explaining to do. Mm-hmm. But knowing her, she gonna tell them exactly what happened.
30-some-odd years later.
Yeah. But she's probably still staying right there and dare them to say something about it and be ready to pull out her belt on them. So maybe that's not a good idea to take them over there to talk to her. Oh boy.
She know where you live now. She might come after you. Might want to choose your words wisely if you're trying to keep it in place.
Exactly. Yeah, I definitely caught it right there in the rock, trooping forward in Van Acker Projects. Yeah, the infamous story, if you all want to know about it, all you got to do is get in touch with Clinton Buffoon on Facebook or Tanya Dickerson, and they love sharing that story with everybody. I don't know why, what made me that day tell people about it, but I guess I had a little flashback when it happened. So, you know, if you want to know about it, I'm not going to go into detail, but, you know, they will be gladly. All right, so we're getting to the end of the show. I guess it's time to get ready to do some final takes. Man, this is a good show. It went by quick.
I know, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Missed you last week up at Baker's. Y'all had a good time?
Yeah, I had a great time. Went out there for my cousin's 40th birthday. And that was my first trip. That was my first time going to Vegas. So I think that was a perfect opportunity for it being the first time. And, you know, kind of got a chance to go out there before it got too busy with the Mayweather fight. So it was good. It was a good time. It was good. You know, obviously it's always good to get away from your routine and change it up. And as always, of course, it's good to be around family. So we had a really good time.
Now,
we had a really good time.
Now tell me something, because you're a very social person, and I know how I felt my first time there. If you had ever been there, like, before now, like when you were younger, would you probably would have lived out there or stayed out there or got a job or what?
No, obviously we were there for, 4 days? And we were just basically on the strip the whole time. So I don't know what Vegas is like outside of the strip. But
I would say...
You know, so I guess in a sense I can't necessarily fully answer that question, but if I just went off of what I saw, I would say no, because I would want to be in a city. Vegas is one of those places where you enjoy while you're there for a few days and you go back to your reality. You know what I mean? But I don't think I could live in that. Yeah, like I don't think that I could live in that quote-unquote fantasy city forever.
No, okay. When I was there, I was like, yo, I would have came here when I was a teenager and copped the DJ at one of them hotels or something like that, and it would have been a rap out, and nobody ever seen me. You wouldn't even knew about me. Anyway, let's get to the final tones. Let's get out of here. You go ahead.
All right, let's do it. My final tone for this week is, dear Mayweather, you can send me just a very, very, very small portion of your winnings, and I will be very happy with that. Thank you very much. Definitely enjoyed the social aspect of the fight last night. Now it is all over. Now we continue to focus on these NBA playoffs. As far as Baltimore is concerned, I just pray that the city finds peace and there's no more rioting, and we can really just as a country just move on from this and hopefully not experience this often, and learn from the boy who got discovered by his mom on the streets. Y'all get off them streets. It is not for you. Let the law handle the situation so you're not getting caught out there and being put on punishment because you wanted to go be a rioter in the street. So stay home. Wear safe. That's my final tone.
And my final tone is everything the cool chick just said. I'm saying I'll just repeat it.
And that's the final tone.
You're getting stoned to Setting the Tone Radio.
Look, I get it in, I'm a home man. All the ladies say he's lying, they don't really wanna leave him alone. I never follow the crowd, I'm setting my own trends. Baby girl, I'm set the tone. I'm a trendsetter, 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 trendsetter.
jealous.